happy to bring in one of my favorite college football analysts of NBC Sports College Football Talk, Kevin McGuire. Kevin, great to have you as always. Is there a better football player in the nation right now than Saquon Barkley?
I'd be hard-pressed to find one, although there are some really good running backs out there this year. If I think when you just look at Saquon Barkley, I mean, he looks like the most complete running back that we've seen in a little while now. So, I mean, he does it all. I mean, he runs the ball, obviously. He can catch the ball, and you get him in motion. He's pretty lethal right there. And he's also a great blocker, too. I don't know if he gets enough credit for that, too. I mean, he does some good blocking to set up some big plays for Penn State in the passing game. So, yeah, I think right now he's playing like the best player in college football, and he's got a big test for him ahead this weekend.
I feel like this year started out as the year of the quarterback, right, with Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, and there was all and Lamar Jackson, all this hype around quarterbacks. But as you mentioned, there's a number of really good running backs in the country, and it's kind of turned into the year of the running back.
It really has, and you go back to the beginning of the year, and there were so many quarterbacks worth discussing, not taking anything away from them going into the season. Saquon Barkley was kind of the one running back that most people were familiar with that were thrown into the Heisman conversation. But now you look at it now, you know, Bryce Love at Stanford has been having a tremendous year. Rashad Penny at San Diego State was having a good run, you know, took a couple losses. But, you know, you're starting to look around, look at the Big Ten in particular. There are so many good running backs just in that conference alone. And then you go into the SEC, obviously there's some good backs there too. I mean, there's good running backs pretty much everywhere you look. And you know, I thought last year's crop of running backs was really good. Maybe 2 years ago was really good. But this one looks like it's pretty much deeper than any of the last couple of years we've seen.
Well, you mentioned the Big Ten and the matchup that we got this weekend. It's number 2 Penn State at number 6 Ohio State. We had a whiteout in Happy Valley last week. They're going to black out the shoe this week. You know, sticking with the theme of Saquon Barkley, I was reading one of your columns. I had no idea this is true in the two games that Saquon Barkley has played against the Buckeyes. He hasn't gotten in the end zone yet.
No, he has not. He's done a lot of damage on the ground, though. I mean, he's racked up some good yardage. You know, go back a couple years ago, he had a really breakout game as a freshman, over 120 yards, 150 yards maybe. I forget exactly, but it was up there. And he had one touchdown that was called back from a penalty. But and then last year in Happy Valley, he goes for 99 rushing yards. So, I mean, he's being effective with this offense. And obviously Penn State's 1-1 in those games. But the fact that he's been kept out of the end zone in both of those games, I think is a tremendous credit to what Ohio State is capable of doing. I'd be very curious to see if they can keep that going for a third straight year. If they do that, I feel like Ohio State's got to feel pretty good about themselves. But if Barkley gets in the end zone at least once, you start to like Penn State's chances a little bit on the road, I think.
Kevin McGuire of NBC Sports College Football Talk with us here on The Lowdown. The Big Ten is really, really good. And at least as of today, Penn State is just the cream of that crop. Is JT Barrett good enough to help the Buckeyes navigate this difficult conference?
I think he is, and he has his share of critics, and I think some of it's been deserved over the last couple of years. But I really do feel like he's got the potential to make some plays happen. You know, say what you will about his passing game. What should worry you is what he's going to be able to do running the football. If Penn State is getting into a game where they're not able to keep him from running, I think that they could be in some trouble, because I think if JT Barrett is able to make some plays happen with his legs, that gives Ohio State a little bit of an advantage. But if Penn State can force JT Barrett to have to beat them through the air, I think that's the kind of game that they would take their chances with. And that doesn't mean that he's not going to do some damage passing the ball, but I feel like that's the strategy I think Penn State's going to have to iron in on and just hope for the best.
Michigan and Harbaugh were beat up pretty bad last weekend by Penn State, and there's always so much talk about what Harbaugh is doing there at Michigan that it's kind of undermined what James Franklin has done at Penn State. And you noted this on some tweets that you had, and I think you wrote an article about it, that James Franklin's circumstances were significantly more difficult than what Harbaugh had to deal with at Michigan.
Yeah, you know, obviously James Franklin was taking over a program that was digging itself out of the sanctions. And when he was hired, they were still under some sanctions. They didn't get their bowl ban lifted until a few games into his first year at Penn State. So he's had a little bit more of a rebuilding process to do. He's just been fortunate to have some guys like Saquon Barkley, Trace McSorley to be able to rely on offensively. But, you know, the depth of that Penn State team had some work to do when he took over. Not so much, I think, the case with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. It was a little bit more stocked throughout the different positions, but certainly he's having his own deficiencies there too, especially at the quarterback, which is a little surprising. But that's why I feel like I buy into the idea of giving Jim Harbaugh some time to really mold that program to his liking, and I still think he's in that process there. But I think you lose some of that argument when you see that Penn State goes on to win the Big Ten last year, considering the circumstances that James Franklin had.
Well, that's the big one this weekend. Penn State and Ohio State, number 2 versus number 6 this weekend. Look at some of the other teams, other games, other divisions out there, other conferences out there. Excuse me. Are you buying Georgia?
A little bit more each week, I think. They've been looking so good and dominant offensively. Obviously, maybe they haven't exactly been tested as much as they have been hyped up to, but they did go on the road, and they beat a really good Notre Dame team, it looks like. And I think that that helps boost their confidence a little bit. And they've had some good wins in SEC play. We'll see what they do against Florida. But this looks like a pretty solid team. I don't think it's Alabama good, but it's a really good team. And I think they're certainly worthy of being in the playoff discussion right now. And I've bought into them a little bit more each week that goes by.
That win against Notre Dame sure looks a whole lot different now than it did when they originally got it.
Sure does. Go back to the game. It looks like an ugly loss for Notre Dame at the time, but now, you know, Notre Dame, I think, is boosting up and saying, yeah, you know what? We're the only team that's been able to hang with Georgia. And I think that that's a tremendous credit for both teams there. I think that those were two good teams. We just didn't know how good they were at the time.
I feel like every year an SEC team kind of creeps into the conversation, and then they hit the meat of that SEC schedule, and they dwindle a little bit. That's why it's hard for me to really buy into Georgia. I mean, they still have South Carolina. I don't know how good that they are. They still got Auburn coming up, remaining in their schedule. I don't want to put all my chips down on the Bulldogs yet.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's fair, especially since Georgia is a team that has burned so many fans so many times over the years. Under Mark Richt, there were so many good teams that Georgia had. They just weren't able to get over that hurdle far more often than not. I do agree. I think there's still some challenges here. You know, you never know what to expect with a defensive effort against Florida, although the Gators have no offense to rely on. So, but if Georgia gets out of this weekend, I think it does come down to that road trip to Auburn, which is no gimme by any stretch of the imagination. That's going to be a tough game for them.
And to be fair, Georgia only likes to burn their fans with about 10 seconds left in the fourth quarter. That's where they generally light the match. Since we mentioned Notre Dame, we can stay with them here for a second. They captured everybody's heart last week by destroying USC. They still got a tough one against Miami early next month, but they got North Carolina State this weekend. What is Brian Kelly doing differently with these guys?
He's relying on the running game far more than he probably was planning on going into the season. I feel like he felt pretty good about his running game, but I think when you've got Josh Adams just doing what he's doing, running the football, I think it's really difficult to shy away from that and just use that to your advantage, because it is such an advantage. And I think that's one thing that he kind of shied away from, running the ball at times. He wanted to try and force some passing options over the last couple of years with Deshaun Kizer. And sometimes that burned him. Now this year, he's just keeping it simple, hand it off and, pound out the yardage on the ground. Obviously they're doing some good things there. So I don't see any reason to change that up. It's going to be an interesting test this weekend though, because NC State has a pretty good defense. And if they can get through that defense in front, then Notre Dame can flex the muscle there, I think there.
Was Deshaun Kizer good last year at Notre Dame?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
But I think there were far more questionable moments that you can go back on. That's why his decision to go off to the NFL was a little puzzling, I think.
And I think we're seeing that now as he's going in and out of the Cleveland Browns lineup. But I guess that's just that has less to do with Deshaun Kizer and a lot more to do with what's going on with the Cleveland Browns or what's wrong with the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to call my shot here. I like Stanford in Palo Alto on November 25th against Notre Dame.
I actually do, too. I really like the Stanford team. I know they've lost a couple of games, but I feel like that is a team that if you're going to sleep on them, first of all, you're missing out on Bryce Love, and you got to be paying attention to what he's doing. But honestly, I mean, if you look at the Pac-12 picture as a whole, they're right in the thick of this thing. You know, Washington State coming up, Washington right after that. One of them's on the road. I believe Washington is at home. So they've got a great opportunity here to make something happen in the Pac-12. But, yeah, going forward to the end of the season, That Notre Dame game is going to be pretty good, and there could be some huge implications for riding on the outcome there for both teams. So I would not doubt Stanford there.
You think David Shaw is ever going to make that leap to the NFL?
I don't know. I really feel like, you know, there are some coaches that you just see, they're perfectly fine being in the college game, and they're just so well-suited for it. I think Shaw is that guy. I'm not going to say never, because I feel like I've seen so many coaches, you know, take that chance at some point in their career. And I'm not going to rule it out for Shaw, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. I really don't. He'll probably have some phone calls coming his way, but I don't know if he's got the itch to go take this thing to the NFL and see what he can do. I think he's pretty content where he is, and he's got a good spot right there.
Sticking in the Pac-12, is Sam Darnold 100% out of the Heisman Trophy conversation?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way he can hop back in right now. Even if he goes on a hot streak, I think enough damage has been done, and we're seeing some great performances from all these other players that we've seen so far. I think he's got too much ground to make up, so I think he's out for this year. But, you know, if he's coming back next year, we'll see what he can do.
You know, Jason's not here today. Jason's a UCLA guy. He's a Pac-12 guy, and sometimes he gets frustrated with the lack of attention that the Pac-12 get. And they got some love to start the season. And I wonder, Kevin, do you think – when a conference, who, you know, the conference got some love here this season in the early rankings, but we've seen USC lose its biggest games. We've seen UCLA lose. We've seen teams fall off. Do you think that affects the way voters look at them next year when it comes to putting out these rankings?
Yeah, you know, I think subconsciously it probably does because I don't have one of those AP votes or anything like that, but I would imagine there's enough voters that are casting their ballots looking back to see what happened last year. What have we learned? You know, what mistakes did we make with the polls last year? And let's try to not make those same mistakes this year. And then, of course, the other thing is, you know, what teams ended the previous season on a hot streak? USC was certainly one of the teams that ended the year as hot as they could be. So I can understand why they were getting so much hype going into the season and, you know, being projected as a Pac-12 champion, a national title contender. I totally understand the logic. But I think seeing USC struggle in particular a couple times this year, and not just in their losses, they've looked pretty shabby in some of their wins too. I think that is going to influence how voters are probably going to perceive particular programs and perhaps the conference too.
Final thing here: how bad is, on a scale from 1 to 10, Kevin, how bad are things at Florida?
You know, I would say it's probably floating around a 4. I don't think it's a complete garbage fire right there, but I feel like there's still some good things that they can work on. Jim McElwain certainly has some stress going on here, but I feel like, I don't think Florida's too far off from turning things around. Again, if they happen to score a wild upset against Georgia, all of a sudden the momentum's right back in their favor, and a lot of wrongs from the season will be forgotten.
Stranger things have happened. Who do you got? Penn State, Ohio State. Who's your pick this weekend?
You know, I'm leaning towards Penn State because I trust their offense to come up with a few more plays than I do Ohio State. And it goes back to, you know, kind of limiting what JT Barrett's going to do offensively. If Penn State can force him to be a passing option only and not let him run loose, I think that swings the game in their favor.
Kevin, you're one of the best, man. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. Kevin McGuire, NBC Sports College Football Talk. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin on CFB, one of our favorite college football analysts right there. And I'm